B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Trouble, two for the bass. You know the style trick. It's time to flip this. I like my beats hard like 2 day old. Steady eating booty MCs like cheesecakes. My man, I'll be
95 of Sports Up is Touching and Rich. Used to have a crush on doing for men vote. Sorry, I don't know how long this has been playing. I just ran back from the bathroom. I just did something stupid.
What?
I just did something really. My body has learned to hate me over the past couple of months. Like, I don't know. And some of this is for reasons in and out of my control. This one's completely my fault because I'm a dummy who still thinks he can pull crap off that he used to be able to. But no, my body has turned on me, and I actually unfortunately you guys might end up paying the price in a little bit. So one thing that I've been trying to do here just to not become a sloth, and actually more than anything, just to get out of the house. Is I don't have any weights or anything like that. I don't have anything like that. I've just been trying to ride my bike, and I've been doing that for a while now just to get it the hell out of it. So, yes, I usually ride it for, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes. It's not really anything that's significant. So yesterday I got on my bike, and I started riding it, and it's the point where I usually turn around, and then there was this part of me that was like, dude, you're a super cool bike guy. You can keep going. And I was like, you know, come on, man, let's let this sucker roll. And
you
I,
were riding like the wind to be free again.
It was riding like the wind. So yeah. I ended up just saying, all right, I'll keep going. And I went on this massive loop, which is, I mean, by three times almost as much as I've ever ridden. And like a dummy, I didn't stop. I'm just like, I'm going to keep going, man. I'm going to keep going. I'm listening to Trapped. I'm listening to The Back. I'm keep myself getting a little Chevelle in there, man. Come on, headstrong.
That's
some
good
on.
Butt rock right there.
I got my butt rock playlist ready to go. And I ended up biking for an hour and a half,
which
think ended up being something like 16 miles or something.
Well,
yeah,
that
like
means
that.
You're going in a circle, right? You were telling me it's 5 miles to the water in any direction. So
yep, it's a loop. It was a big loop.
Looping the island, okay.
Yep, I did this big loop. And so I got back home, like, yeah, man, you know, I'm feeling good. And for the rest of the day, I'm like, all right, this is awesome. Like, it doesn't feel like it really, you know, affected me that much. That's fine. So this morning when my alarm went off, I do this thing because I'm paranoid about oversleeping. It's like a war zone inside of my room. I have three alarms. So I have two old phones that I don't use anymore, like ones that are, you know, somewhat old and busted, like an iPhone like 6, and I've got like a Samsung, but I don't use them anymore, and I've been too lazy to sell them, so, and now the value's gone. Like, by the time you forget about it, like, there's no value on it, so I use them now as alarms that I stash around my room. I've got one that's over by my door, I've got one that's over, by my dresser, and then one right next to me, the phone that I use, so that way, if one alarm isn't set right, there's two others that will go off. And so this morning, I don't know what time it was, 3 something, one of my alarms starts going off, and I get up to get out of bed, and my leg just says, nope. And I slip, and I nail my head up against my side table. Like, I'm surprised I didn't bleed, but I have this massive lump. But in the meanwhile, while grabbing down trying to stop my fall, I grab my side table lamp and it smashed onto the ground, like to where the light bulb shattered and it like hit the ground. And my wife's like, what the hell? Like, she thought that something, like, so a bomb was going
so
on.
So it was like a bad Kevin James scene from a bad sitcom. Mm.
Yes, I've turned into Kevin James.
It's a bad my pratfall leg, is what happened.
My leg didn't work because I had run it so hard yesterday that like it was jelly. I got out of bed and I grabbed it and I smashed it. And so this morning I was trying to pick up all the little pieces of glass off of the ground. I throw it away in the trash, and I even do the whole thing with the wet paper towel, and I'm trying to do that. And, of course, right there in that commercial break, I stand up and I slice a little a piece, and my foot's been bleeding. And I got, like, I'm actually holding right now as we speak a piece of toilet paper on it, which is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
So that's on me. Like, that's an idiot. That's a dumb thing on me, because that's me where I'm like, yeah, I'm still, I could totally hang with this. You know, so that's the part of my body that hates me that I'm responsible for.
Uh-huh.
But then there's another part that is just, I don't know if this is Father Time or is this just nature's way of just putting a middle finger right on my forehead and telling me that I suck. Somehow, over the last, this started maybe 3 weeks ago, right around, you could almost set a clock to it, right around 8 p.m. at night, my stomach starts screaming at me. It makes noises now that are so loud that my son heard it in the other room.
No, that's not Father Time.
And it doesn't stop for like until I fall asleep, from 8 p.m. till I go to sleep. And this is no matter of fact, you know what tonight I'm going to do? I'm going to take out my phone and I'm going to record it. Because I could use one of those phones the other side of the room because it's that loud. And I don't know why it started to do this. My diet hasn't changed that much over the last thing. I don't know. Like my routine has essentially been the same. But over the last 3 weeks, dude, it sucks. It's loud and it can't be stopped. I don't know if it can be stopped. I've Googled how do I keep my stomach from making awful noises. And now I get it. Now I actually have sympathy for Nancy Grace when she was on TV. And I thought that she had farted when indeed the sound that her stomach that is being made here is exactly what mine does. Here's, remember, if you remember.
Come on over here, Princess Nancy. What a gift to be able to share that footage forever with your twins. Do you think you did them proud tonight?
I hope so. I saw them several times during the dance. And they were smiling so big.
So, well, let's see if the judges can give us something to smile about.
It's that time.
We all thought that was a fart, and she was summarily convicted in fart court. What you're saying, your hypothesis now is that could have been a stomach problem. And
yeah,
not a fart.
Now I know that. You know what? I forgot. Nancy Grace, forgive me. As funny as it would be that you actually farted on TV, that's not a fart. That's exactly what's going on with my stomach.
I'm a little older than you by about 20 or 25 years. I've never had this problem.
I don't know.
I don't think it's Father Time, sir.
I don't know what's happening. I've looked at the foods I'm eating. Nothing's really changed. It's been the same. I'm not eating garbage. I don't know what maybe it's something in the air. I don't know what it is, but every single night it's so bad that like my wife like will call attention to it while I'm trying to go to sleep.
Like my belly makes noises when I'm hungry.
Yeah, no, that's normal. Everyone has that.
Everyone does that. This isn't that. This is like for the last several hours of the night, it just screams at me and it won't stop. And it's not like I'm like, I don't get gassy or anything. Cause I mean, I would think that might be the case. It's just, it makes awful noises. Like to the point where I'm kind of getting a little bit worried that this might be like a medical problem.
Well, I will say this time slot, like, I don't know, man, like this week for me, like I get up at 4:30 every day and I need a nap during the day. Like I won't function right for the next couple of days if I don't get that nap.
Correct.
So maybe that's got something to do with it, Ridge. Like you're up so early, you know, you're working out, you're working hard, you're probably eating better, you're on the island as well, so who knows, maybe your belly's like, dude, I need a burrito, you know.
It's some normal, you know, good junk food. I just know that that's one of the reasons why there's no such thing as a good-looking morning show radio guy. Because it's just, I mean, the schedule makes you lose your hair quicker, get ugly. I mean, we're already ugly to begin with. That's why we do radio. But then it just makes it even worse. So, I mean, it's just to pile on, it's been one thing after the next. And hopefully this doesn't turn into something that becomes, you know, odorous. And as I return to the station, hopefully next month and you guys will have to unfortunately deal with that.
Real quick, because you talked about this at the beginning of the show, but now we have new people listening. You kind of have not a tentative date, but a tentative idea of when you could be back in studio.
Yeah, so I mean, they've been at our station trying to kind of figure out when everyone is going to return, and they have to do it slowly. Like right now, I couldn't if I wanted to because they don't want that many people in the studio at the same time. They're trying to slowly do it, mile thing. They did, however, kind of just want to see where my head was at. They've been very cool. They understand the situation that I'm in with my family. And I just said, I'm going to leave it up to Mary's doctor. So I reached out to Mary's doctor. And they said that they feel, unless things change, like, you know, with the virus, which we all know that they could.
Every
because,
day.
You know,
yeah.
You're right. I mean, you know, we've seen some situations that could make this blow up lately. But if everything stays the same, they said that, you know, as long as I take the proper precautions, then more than likely I'll probably be able to come back the middle of next month. So that's good. So, I mean, then we're going to, and I can't wait to come back. Like, as I said, I'm like a man out of a cage.
Yeah.
And this is something that I'm truly looking forward to, being able to come back. And I'm going to drive you crazy because I haven't had a face-to-face conversation for more than like 30 seconds with anyone other than my family since the beginning of March. So get ready. I'm going to be the most annoying man on the planet, if I'm not already. Speaking of the most annoying man on the planet, many people think Max Kellerman is. I don't mean to transition so quickly, but I saw this, and this is just fantastic. There's a lot of people who are pissed off about this. Take it away, Max Kellerman.
Listen, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but in the United States of America, no one really cares about hockey. You know, the old joke is every town has 20,000 hockey fans. They all have season tickets. So the arenas are always sold out, but the TV ratings don't do anything. So it's not one of the four major team sports, although it has a strong, I mean, I don't.
Okay. Why are people pissed off about that clip? The reason I'm asking that is that do we not know by now that ESPN's never cared about hockey? Like, they don't care. Like, it's I mean,
well, that's what, an, what, see, what? I think that's besides it. That's an insult.
Like, okay.
By the way, that's above and beyond.
Yeah, from ESPN, that's an insult.
No,
come on.
No.
And I get it.
ESPN has been apathetic about hockey since they lost a contract or decided not to renew it. If you've ever been on the ESPN.com main webpage, they have pulled down bars for every other major sport soccer.
They don't care.
But you have to really hunt to find the National Hockey League.
Real quick, I get it. They put the fake fans in the background with the beards. Like, we've seen all that, okay?
Barry Melrose is their expert that they put on only during the playoffs, and I'm convinced he doesn't watch the games. They'll have him on and there'll be highlights, and he A, won't know the names of many of the players, and B, will be guessing as to what actually happened in said games. He doesn't, think about that, their NHL expert that they have on in most cases doesn't even seem to watch the games he's supposed to report
on. Sorry, my beef with Max Kellerman is, you want to say nobody cares about hockey? That's the same guy that covers boxing. Look what's happened to the sport of boxing. It is dead. Name a heavyweight. That sport is dead. You mean to tell me
Tyson
more
Fury.
People watch boxing than they watch hockey? That is crap.
Deontay
and that's
Wilder.
What pissed me off.
Deontay
name
Wilder.
More. Give me more heavyweight
Tyson
besides.
Tyson Fury, Deontay
Joshua,
Wilder.
Fury, Wilder.
Joshua.
Give me more. Like,
that's
going.
More than you had in the past.
Yeah.
When the
how many NHL players can you name?
No,
that
I
is
don't.
Crap, Max Kellerman. That is the same guy who said Brady's falling off a cliff 8 years ago says nobody watches hockey, yet that the same guy who covers boxing says no one watches hockey. That is crap.
So you're
I
out?
I think you might be wrong. I think that boxing does pretty well now.
No, no,
like,
but
boxing's all right.
Because you watch Triple G and Canelo. They're all middleweights and lightweights.
Yeah,
the heavyweight
division hasn't
is crap.
Been important in a long time. I agree.
But, they need Mike Tyson to make things interesting, and he's 50 years old.
The pay-per-views are pretty high on boxing right now.
God, no, NHL
not on,
playoffs
not
are a boxing match. That is crap. It's crap. I'm sorry.
How
more
many,
people
okay,
watch NHL
how,
than boxing.
How many? Okay, this is interesting, and I'm not trying to give you old sports debate, but I would like to know the ratings of last year's NHL final, like, you know, the Blues versus the Bruins. I'd like to know the ratings of that versus how many buys that that last fight got with Tyson Fury, because I bet there were more eyes on that than there were on Game 7.
I mean, the average they averaged 3 million views.
I mean, come on, like who? What the play NHL or the
NHL
finals?
Dude, are we really comparing the dead sport of boxing to the NHL?
You just did.
Yeah, I think boxing sucks compared to the NHL. I do.
Well, you may think it sucks, but I guarantee you, more than 3 million eyes watched that Tyson Fury fight.
Let me just say this real quick.
Game seven between the Bruins and St. Louis, 6.2 million viewers.
Okay, how many people bought the last Tyson Fury fight?
I'll look it up, but I'm a guy who's a supporter for boxing. I watch. I like to bet on the. I'm a supporter of boxing. I think the NHL is a better product than boxing.
Okay, that's different. But to say that it's not as popular is a completely different.
It's not
argument.
As popular. Not the. You know, I'm trying to tell you this: more casual fans watch the NHL playoffs than they do boxing.
Let's see.
That might be true. I think boxing gets all its viewers at once. The NHL is more spread out, so it's hard to, because it's game after game after game, and the season lasts so long. You have a great boxing event maybe once a year. It's tough. It's not an apples and oranges argument,
think about this.
But it's tough to compare.
Look up the exhibition fight for Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather.
But
that's an exhibition fight. That's what gets eyes on. UFC is kicking boxing's ass. So, like, I think the NHL is probably doing better than what boxing is doing. I'm telling you right now.
This is from Sports Illustrated. This is from SI.com. Between 10 million and 20 million fans ripped off Wild Fury 2 from just pirated online. So that's the people who didn't even pay for it. And they said that 20 million people, up to 20 million people did that.
I know all about that.
You can say that, and we can yell at Max Kellerman. And by the way, you know, whatever about Kellerman. Just I don't know why people are so mad, because ESPN's never cared about. They've never cared about this. They never cared about hockey.
I don't know. Kellerman was on FS1, I'd have the same opinion. It's just...
Dude's got bars, though. Dude's got massive bars. We know he's like an old school rapper. We've seen that video. All right. Well, we'll get to some of that. 617-779-0985. We'll talk soon.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One for the trouble. Two for the bass, you know the style tip, it's time to flip this. I like my beats hard like 2 day old. Steady eating booty MCs like cheesecakes. My man, I'll be
98.5 Sports Hub is Touching and Rich. Used to have a crush on doing for men vote. Sorry, I don't know how long this has been playing. I just ran back for the bathroom. I just did something stupid.
What?
I just did something really. My body has learned to hate me over the past couple of months. Like I don't know, and some of this is for reasons in and out of my control. This one's completely my fault, because I'm a dummy who still thinks he can pull crap off that he used to be able to. But no, my body has turned on me, and I actually, unfortunately, you guys might end up paying the price in a little bit. So one thing that I've been trying to do here, just to not become a sloth, and actually more than anything, just to get out of the house, is I don't have any weights or anything like that. I've just been trying to ride my bike, and I've been doing that for a while now, just to get the hell out of it. So yes, I usually ride it for, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes. It's not really anything that's significant. So yesterday I got on my bike and I started riding it, and it's the point where I usually turn around, and then there was this part of me that was like, dude, you're a super cool bike guy. You can keep going. And I was like, you know, come on, man, let's let this sucker roll. And
you were riding like the wind to be free again.
It was riding like the wind. So yeah. I ended up just saying, all right, I'll keep going. And I went on this massive loop, which is, I mean, by three times almost as much as I've ever ridden. And like a dummy, I didn't stop. I'm just like, I'm going to keep going, man. I'm going to keep going. I'm listening to Trapped. I'm listening to The Back. I'm keep myself getting a little Chevelle in there, man. Come on, Headstrong.
Man,
I'll take
you on.
That's
some good butt rock right there.
I got my butt rock playlist ready to go. And I ended up biking for an hour and a half,
which
I think ended up being something like 16.
Dutcher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Now, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Dutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rich Certainleave, this concerns you directly. Are you ready?
Give it to me.
All right. So just to set this up, Rich Certainleave, as part of the bet you made with the Bankroll Boys on a Korean soccer match between Gangwon and Incheon United. We've been monitoring this game, this soccer match, throughout the show. Started at 6:30 in the morning Eastern time, and you didn't bet either team. You bet the over-under. Is that correct?
Which was 2.5 goals, so okay. I need 3 to end up making some sweet cheddar.
So we gave kind of a casual update, and it was in the 65th minute, and the match was tied at 1. Rich, we have an answer to your bet. Komu Yol scores in the 86th minute.
Oh!
Gangwon 2, Inshawn won. They're in extra time, but it doesn't matter. Rich Sertleib, you, sir, have cashed in yet again.
Oh, the Bankroll Boys Degenerate Special hits one more time. They're batting at about what?
We're batting 970. 1,000, in COVID.
Dan Lifshatz is due. He nails it again.
Oh, Lifshatz, I want to wrap my arms around you and put my COVID all over your face. There you go. Oh, it feels good, doesn't it? First real bet in a long time. And thank you, Gangwon.
It's good when
Gangsters.
You win. It's bad when you lose. You know?
Gangwon FC2. Inshawn won in extra time in a second half, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. You have gone over, Rich, certainly.
I mean, 80,
you have won again.
86 minutes close. Now, that's sweating it out there.
That's not bad. Lifshatz knew. He always knows.
Did? You got to give him his credit?
Not bad. I will definitely give him his credit on that one. Congratulations to me. So I feel really good about that.
Hopefully many people tail. You know how many people listen and just tail? They're like, dude, I have no clue what I just bet on, but let's go.
They should, because I'm not joking. The Degenerate Special, I don't know how you guys do it, but I mean, it hits.
I'll be honest. I think the last one that lost was when I went against Bryant.
Correct. Damn straight it was. And I told you. But you're like, then, no. They're playing a Big Ten team. They're no chance. And they lost by two at the buzzer.
Yep.
Don't be messing with the
Bulldogs. No, I know. That was since then, though. It's been the TNR bump. I think we're probably rolling around like 8-0 since then.
And it's been absurd, the weird stuff we've been betting on. Like, these aren't like big games, you know. These are, as you know, marbles. And you know,
I'll never forget that cricket match, man.
Oh, the cricket match was
they hit a walk-off. It was like,
do they have walk-offs,
dude? I always tell this story, but years ago when the Red Sox played the Indians in a playoff game, I had the Red Sox to win by a run and a half, so they had to win by two. The only way they could do it was a Manny Ramirez grand slam, and it happened, and I ran out of the house and freaked out. That cricket game, the only way that bet could have won was them hitting a walk-off, and it did. And like that day I went nuts, man. I fist pumped. I called. That was like one of the best bets ever. That was like one of the best wins ever in a championship.
I thought about you yesterday when I saw the plan for the NBA come rolling out, and you know, it's great. I mean, everything that they've been saying about all of this, now it's going to start back up, and they've got, you know, actual dates written down, and they're coming back to, I think they're coming to Orlando July 9th to start camp, and then you're going to have your first game of what they're calling like the regular season, an 8-game regular season. For I think it's 16 days, like just over 2 weeks. And when I saw how they're going to stack all this up, Joe, I just was like, you have got to, like, you're not going to leave the house.
No, I'm
going to
do three-team parlays and three-team teasers and round robins.
This is to make up for the March Madness that we were robbed of. Because according to the report that came out yesterday, during that regular season part of it, not even the playoffs, it's going to be 5 to 6 games per day. Now, there's going to be only four hours between each game because they have to accommodate like overtimes, cleanings, warm-ups, and things like that. But they're using three courts, and each team is expected to only play like one back-to-back. So, I mean, you're talking just from sun up to sundown, 5 to 6 games a day. An absolute assault on your sports betting senses. And then it gets even better because we've talked about one of the biggest problems for the longest time with the NBA has been, as much as the playoffs are fantastic, it's some of the best drama in sports. NHL playoffs are better. We all agree that. But NBA playoffs are pretty damn fantastic. But the one thing that has been such a pain in the ass, and one of my biggest complaints with the sport in general, is the way that they drag it on. And there's so much delay, not only between the games themselves, because there were times, I think last season, where you had two home games, like two games in the same city that were 4 days apart. There's no excuse for that. Like, that's just testing the patience of your fans. But now you've got a situation where the league came out and said, not only are we going to have no games more than every other day during the playoffs, but let's say one round finishes early, no longer will you have the week and a half wait because the finals were set to start on this date. And I know the series, the Eastern Conference Finals, only went 4 games, but we're still going to wait. No. They're going to move it up right next to, right at bookend, right where the other one left off. I love it. Keep it that way. If you're going to take anything from this season that's been kind of thrown together, and keep that, man. Just keep it as, you know, like a nonstop action. And once again, Joe Murray, you're the first one that I thought of when I heard of this, because much like, I mean, if it makes me excited, it's got to make you excited about these games all crammed together.
I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go. I'm going to fade, though, a lot of these teams on a back-to-back. You know, for example, like I think the Clippers are a deep team. But Milwaukee, like, I look at them, and I just look at these teams that, you know, guys who need that extra rest, even LeBron James, that'd probably be a team I'd fade on back-to-back games if they had to play. Where I look at the Celtics, and I'm like, younger team. The only thing I worry about them is maybe the Kemba Walker situation. Besides that, though,
I think they're deep. You know what I worry about for the Celtics, and it's really no getting around this. Jason Tatum had exploded in the three.
Did he hit his ceiling?
Well, no, it's not even that. It's, okay, the previous 2 months up until when the season stopped, Jason Tatum was a top five player in the league. And I wonder, because he had just come into his own, all that time off, can he get it back? If the Celtics don't have a long postseason run, he's got some time to work out in the offseason and get it back. Can he get it back now after so much time off and literally no training at all for long periods of time?
And this can't be good for the bench, too, which already was somewhat of an issue. Now, one of the cool things that happened that I didn't realize until about a week ago was that Grant Williams, you know, a super Dungeons & Dragons nerd, Grant Williams, the one that Fred thinks is a bust, and we obviously don't know what he is yet, he quarantined with Kemba Walker.
Yep.
So when this all started, he, I guess, told, you know, Kemba Walker, you know, can I stay with you? And Kemba was like, yeah, cool. So I got to think, just by being next to a guy that's that much of a veteran presence and obviously knows what he's doing and is that much of a guy who, you know, is known as a mentor, that part's probably got to help him. But, man, it's going to be weird. As you said, Joe, this is going to be a playoff format where I can just totally see a 5 or like a 4 seed winning it all. It's so unpredictable. And you know what? To be honest, I love it. I love the fact that that's out there. Now, as a bettor, it would probably drive me crazy. But, I mean, I think that this is going to be a nice little science experiment to figure out, you know, is it the younger legs or is it the veteran presence? What means more when it comes to going from 0 to 60 and trying to have ultra-competitive basketball with really only that two-week window of regular season games?
I think we've seen a shift. Like last year, once Durant got hurt and Golden State couldn't move on, Toronto won. This year, I think we'll probably see a different winner. But, you know, for me, it's still the Clippers, Lakers, or Bucks, but this could be the year where another team, I mean, especially with everything that's happening, another team could definitely come out. You know, the two teams, like I mentioned yesterday, I think the Rockets are probably one team that I'd take a look at, and maybe Miami in the East.
Yeah, they've got D'Antoni at the helm. They're not going to win anything.
Houston will never win with that head coach.
But they made an adjustment. They went smaller, and it's worked for them.
I saw them play. The Celtics played them in Houston. That's one of the games I did. They are a different kind of team. You know, most teams play small for 10 or 15 minutes at a time. Rockets do it for 48 minutes. They don't really have a center they use, but D'Antoni's system does not work in the playoffs.
But John, and I've said this before, and this is so random, but one of my favorite teams of all time is the 2006 or so era Phoenix Suns.
And you know what happened to them in the playoffs? They ran into Greg Popovich and lost every single time.
But because they couldn't
score 120 points a game.
When you had Steve Nash, and it was like Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, Leandro Barbosa. When you had that team and D'Antoni, just like everything was fast break basketball, they would score like 140 points a game.
And then lose to San Antonio in the second round.
And they would always like hit San Antonio. But then again, that San Antonio team was, I mean,
It doesn't matter. Basketball doesn't work. Fade the Rockets. Fade them.
You say out. If you're imitating Joe, you got to go out.
Yeah, out on the Rockets.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm just like, that's not my thing.
All right. Speaking of Joe Murray, here he is with his headlines.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. NBA's got the ball rolling. We have dates on calendars. Fantastic. It's the best news we've had in a long time. You've got the NHL looking to hopefully follow in the NBA's tracks. Tons of unanswered questions there. We still don't know where the hell it's going to be, but there was some positive news yesterday. We're going to have Ty Anderson on, who is slightly going crazy, I think, in the quarantine, as we talked to him a couple weeks ago.
Hold on 1 second. I follow Ty Anderson on Twitter, and if you don't, you really need to. He's a great follow. He's up all hours of the night. I mean, 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 1 in the morning. It's every night you see a different tweet from him. And I think the last one was, "I can't focus on anything!" Exclamation point. And it's just random that he'll tweet that out. He's absolutely going nuts, and he's funny when he doesn't.
Well, we're all going a little insane through all this, but it's the people who choose to let their fingers head towards Twitter while they're going insane are the ones that are it's either a good thing, so you can check on them, or it's a concerning thing. And I don't know really what it is with Ty Anderson, other than you're right. His pain is our pleasure, because it is pretty funny when he does it. But there's a lot of questions to ask NHL-wise, because, I mean, now that the NBA has got this on the calendar, I mean, it's really making everyone else look bad if you aren't able to figure something out fairly quickly. And speaking of looking bad, baseball, we've said it 1,000 times, they can't get out of their own way. And yesterday was... I mean, I don't know where you go from here, because what happened was the players had come out and said, "Tell you what, we'll do 114 games, and here's a bunch of different ways that you can make back the money you're going to lose, but we're not going to take a pay cut." And baseball goes, "Well, if that's the case, then we'll give you your money that you are supposed to get per game, but we're only going to give you 50 games." And the Players Association came out and said, "Hey, you know what? We're not going to accept this." And the owner said, "Well, that was our final offer." So now they're just standing there looking at each other going, "What do we do now?" There's no movement, no negotiation being thrown out there, no offer. Here's where we stand, here's where we stand, and they are now at I don't even know how to pronounce it. Impasse?
Impasse.
But yes. Rich, you were wrong. It's one side knows what they do now, and one side's been building towards this for the better part of a month. The players are thinking, okay, what do we do now? The owners already know what's going to happen. This has been their plan all along. They're saying, "We're going to take as much money as we can from you, and if you don't like it, tough. Yeah. We're not going to have a season. We can afford to lose all this money, and you as players who are not independently wealthy like we are, relatively speaking, can't." That's the problem. Over half of Major League Baseball players make $1 million or less.
Okay, John, since you're over 70, you are Mr. Baseball.
Right.
So I need to get your...
What was it you say again? I forgot what you just said.
So I need you to look up something for me, because I've actually reached out to a couple of our baseball guests that we have on the show, and they don't know the answer to this.
Okay.
If the season ends up being canceled,
yep.
If they don't play one game,
yep.
What does that mean for Alex Cora?
I think it counts.
I think it counts as a year of service time.
That was part of the original deal that they signed in March, and I don't think it was altered. I haven't seen any language in the new proposals that alters it. Every year, I mean, this year counts as service time, not only for suspensions, but for players as well, and that means, at least on the surface of things, the Red Sox win the Mookie Betts trade big time.
Yeah.
Because that means Betts is going to be a free agent this winter.
And then the Sox can get him back.
That's right.
True. Hey, I just wanted to bring up one thing about this. The Major League Baseball Players Union has won every single battle that they've ever been in. Like, I don't feel bad for the players. But here, like, I'm just me from the outside. That Players Association, remember when Donald Fehr backed them for years? Like, they always won. Here, the owners, they don't want to budge.
And the this owners is are on the win. Play. The owners are going to win regardless of
yes,
how this
that's
turns
what I'm trying
out.
To say here yes. is that the players need to budge. And Jeff Passan is a great article.
Players have budged. They've budged over and over.
In order
again.
To get a season, we talked about this earlier. In order to get a season, it's on the players.
Yep.
Either take this deal that's being offered you of 50 games, or you get nothing.
Yeah, and you're right. They're going to have to do that if there's a season, unless we get some sort of replacement player situation, which I think would be hysterical. If we ended up getting something like that, like if they continue to just say, "We're not crossing this line," and, you know, the owners just have this laissez-faire attitude, like, "Well, we're going to 50 games no matter what." And to me, that would be kind of, It's sad anyway. Like it's sad in that the owners now are conceding that it's almost not worth it if you have to start the season around the same time that basketball is, because you are not even anywhere near front page news. And especially if NHL just starts to pile on, they announce by like next week that they have this plan and they're going to end up starting around the same time as that. I mean, just what is baseball going to do to be relevant? And I think they realize, all right, we're going to have no fans in stands. No one's going. We're going to have zero television ratings because they're all going to be watching the 5 to 6 games a day that Joe Murray's going to be extremely happy about. Mm-hmm. The NBA is going to have, and me as well. And then you've got playoff hockey, which for my money is the best sporting events that you could ever watch. There's nothing better than playoff hockey. So what is baseball then? What is regular season meaningless baseball, either with stars who we now know really don't want to be there, or replacement players? And that's why the owners have really nothing to lose by saying, take it or leave it, because if we have to blow off this season, we're going to take a hit, but it's not really even worth it now to put the money in to have this partial season happen.
Honestly, and the far-reaching implications of what's about to happen to Major League Baseball, I don't know if you can come back from this. I really don't. Only because on the horizon is another labor disagreement. With the end, the CBA expires in December of next year, and we've said this over and over again, but it bears repeating. This is just the beginning of all of this. Yeah. These same issues are going to come up after the end of next season, only it's going to be 10 times worse. And Major League Baseball, they've always managed to get out of their own way at the last minute. They've always ended a possible labor problem at the last minute. And that's on top of all the other problems they had in the early 90s and before that, when Donald Fehr was really the bad guy. Honestly, this is one where they're standing at the cliff and they're looking over, and for some reason the owners are prepared to jump.
Well, what if
they need, ultimately they may win this battle, but they need the players.
Yeah, they're gonna lose billions.
They
of
need
dollars.
The players badly, yeah, to get people to give a damn about this sport soon.
One of our listeners just said the baseball negotiations are like that scene in The Naked Gun where Leslie Nielsen and the informant keep bribing each other with the same $20 bill.
Yeah. Right.
She's like back and forth, and now you're not getting any kind of moving anywhere. Yeah. Someone said instead of replacement players, could the owners just bring back AAA teams? They, for the most part, own their AAA teams, right? I mean,
no, you know what? You canceled the minor league baseball season this year. Yeah, I don't know how many.
And
people,
they already contracted all the minor league baseball, yeah, teams, and so the owners save all the
fired,
money on that anyway.
That's true. They just fired 1,200 minor leaguers. Ultimately, yeah, you're going to pay your minor leaguers total,
all right,
apart from the bonus babies, about $1 million. And they can't even play the mat.
We got a break. I promised our program director we would do that on time. So we'll be right back.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and this is where I normally give my apparently highly controversial take that this is my favorite Prince song.
That is wrong. It's wrong every time you say it.
It's
now,
my favorite.
This is,
I'm not saying that. Okay. I love when people say, "Oh, it's my favorite." Oh, you're wrong about that.
No, no.
Okay.
I thought you were saying it's his best. That's different than your favorite. That's fine.
That's still an opinion. Like it's my favorite Prince song. I love this song.
That's fine. It's good. And I will say this album, this double album, the Sign of the Times album, is one of his best three that he ever made.
What else was on this album?
There was I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man, and then there were like Hot Thing and Starfish and Coffee. And
once again, these are all songs that you would not have been able to name if there was a game that we were playing sound clips of. But you are a savant when it comes to just like coming out with this stuff out of nowhere.
Yeah, but that's my magic. I don't know what to tell you. This album, the Sign of the Times album, is one of the best that Prince ever made.
I also think that Seven's a great song, and you're always like, oh, I don't know about that.
It's an okay song, but the album isn't good at all.
Well, I do know because I got that album back in the day when it came out. And you know what? I still like that song despite me working at a Subway. I worked at a Subway and they had like the local Top 40 station going. And yeah. One thing that you might not know about Top 40 if you're not a fan of Top 40 music is, believe it or not, they're fairly repetitive. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, if it's like the hit song, like if you're the hit one or two, three songs, I'm not joking because I wrote it down when they play the song more than once an hour. As a matter of fact, with the two biggest songs at that time when I was working, I was like in high school, it was one of my first jobs. Seven was one of the biggest songs, and Two Princes by the Spin Doctors. Jesus. And I remember one time I wrote it down, they played Two Princes every 52 minutes. Wow. So it was almost like you could like write it down. It was just over 50 minutes, and I remember oh my God, they're playing this again. And it was just they did that, and that song was a hit for maybe a good 3 months. That song and Seven was just, I mean, it was huge, and it didn't go away.
Yeah,
so
yeah, and then all of a sudden, like I'll never forget, I was working at a place where I heard every Adele song. I think all three Adele songs three times an hour, and yeah. I wanted to set fire to the rain after I heard a bunch of those things.
And I guess that says something to how good a song is that you could hear it like I did Seven every 52 minutes every day, and like a place where you're working. And you still like the song. And there's, you know, a handful of songs that are like that. Like, you know, to be honest, I know that Jeremy by Pearl Jam is a great song. If I never heard that song again, I'd be perfectly fine. But then there's songs like Sweet Child of Mine that when they come on, it's still great. Or like, you know, Paradise City, that's still a great song. And it's not just the band, because there's certain Guns N' Roses songs that be like, all right.
I feel like that was Last Dance with Mary Jane. Like, I know there's so many other Tom Petty songs, but I love that video when it came out. When I hear the song, I enjoy it.
You see, I'm a huge Tom Petty fan. I love Tom Petty. I've seen him, I think, like six times in concert. I'm a massive fan. I've always thought that Last Dance of Mary Jane was okay. Like, it was just kind of okay. It was fine. You know, Wildflowers album is in my top five album, yep, I believe, in my opinion. Excellent one. All right, so, Joe, you have been conspicuously quiet about something that you were involved in yesterday, and I believe there's probably a good reason now that I'm kind of getting word of what might have been contained on the certain thing you were involved in. You sat down with our good friend Bird yesterday, which of course everyone loves Bird. I miss that lovable SOB. I can't wait to see him. Bird is the best, and I swear to you, it's like you can't be in a bad mood when you're around Bird unless he's doing something for you for work. But outside of that,
Dan O'Brien, man, if you could just see Dan O'Brien's face when you said that,
guess who's not a fan of Dan?
Okay, so yesterday, Joe Murray and his very popular Just Sitting There podcast had an hour. It was an hour, right? You spent with Bird?
Almost 90 minutes with Bird.
Oh, wow, an hour and a half.
Yeah, we got into it on like Nickelodeon and Chicks, and yeah,
Nickelodeon and Chicks.
We talk about girls from movies from the late 90s,
which just sounds like a cop show that I'd watch. Nickelodeon and Chicks.
Yeah.
So, you guys covered a lot of topics, and I mean, this truly needs time to examine. But I know we have Ty Anderson coming up at 9 o'clock, but I want to go ahead and get to this clip here because I have not heard this. I've just been told about it, okay? So I'm hearing this for the first time. Joe lived it. Wallach hasn't heard it, and I know this is something that apparently the other people on the show are.
I haven't heard it yet.
Okay.
I think Mike's the only one that's put it in the system for
okay.
us.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So I think the question here is, towards Bird, is who he would quarantine with from the show. Do you remember asking that question?
Yeah, if you could quarantine with one person from the show, who would it be?
Okay, let's take a listen.
If you could be quarantined with one person from Toucher and Rich show, who would that one person be?
All right, Fred would kill me. Wallach would bore me. Nick, we'll just... me and Nick will just kill each other. Like, we get on each other's nerves. I could see myself living with Rich during the quarantine. Like, he's just chill. You know what I mean? He has that laid-back demeanor. Like, he likes to watch movies. He'll play video games with his kids. And I just get that laid-back feeling from Rich. He's, like, very cool demeanor. Just, you know, laid-back and just chill and hang out. Like, I wouldn't bother him. He wouldn't bother me. I don't bother anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I just do my own thing. I mean, I'm in my room most of the time during this quarantine. And once in a while, I'll go out and get food. You know what I mean? And do my business. Take walks around the Point of Pines. But yeah, I would say Rich. Dan would murder me. He would legit murder me within 5 minutes. Lockhart, yeah. I hung out with Lockhart a few times. Me and him would get, I think we would get along. And then, like, I can see, like, over a extended period of time, I'd probably get on his nerves.
Okay. So that's me. I'm chill Rich. So not a big fan of Dan O'Brien, because he would actually murder you.
Murder him. No, I'm just saying that's the quote from Bird. That's not actually, those aren't my feelings, you know?
I mean, listen, no one can hear you scream in that place in Maine, you know? It's like, you know, if you really want to hide a body, I'm sure there's plenty of places near where you live, Dan, where you can make that happen.
As Bird has said, you know, you go from zero to Irish in about 2 seconds.
So look at me. I'm Captain Jill. I'm RKK all of a sudden.
You have no stress in your life. You're not high strung at all.
No. I get that feeling listening to you.
Everyone knows that I'm Captain Chill. I mean, as I said, you know, just you know, me and RKK will come down with our robes on. You know, we'll watch a. Hey guys, it's movie night. I brought the popcorn. Silk robes for everyone.
See, the problem is, you know, he said I would bore him. My problem with Bird was, and his problem with me apparently, is that I used to talk sports with Bird, and at a sports radio station, you'd figure maybe he'd want to hear about that. Nope,
no,
not interested in sports at all.
We did 4 minutes of sports yesterday.
Yeah. Didn't care about sports
and it
at all.
Into him
so
and his
clearly,
job.
He was working at the right place.
All right. Apparently, you guys addressed yesterday an issue that I have because I love Bird. I want to help him out, but sometimes I don't quite know how to do so, especially with this new podcast. So, Joe, you asked a question that I want to know the answer to. Let's go to the next clip, shall we, Dan?
You're a part of the Any Who podcast?
Yes, I started my Any Who podcast last week. You, my girlfriend, and Rich, and a bunch of other people saying, Bird, like, you haven't done anything since March. Like, just do a podcast. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And, you know, March became May, and several weeks went by, and I'm like, all right, I'll just do it now.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Hang on. That, I don't know if Joe was...
Stop. That exchange right there. I heard some of your first podcast. Thank you. And I don't know where to find it. Yeah.
But I think when Bird's reaction with the whole thank you, I don't know if Joe was really throwing the platitudes.
Right. You didn't say it was good.
No,
you
I said I can't find it anywhere.
And then when he said I can't find it, his answer was, yeah, like you're not supposed to find it. I mean, I don't know. I made it, but it doesn't mean I want people to hear it.
It's a secret.
Is that the end of the clip?
No, sorry. I was rewinding. Hold on.
Okay. No. I mean, it's because I just like, hey, I don't know where to find it. Yeah.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even post it.
I know. I'm being really lazy about this.
So you want to, like, just put your hands in your pocket and just show up?
Show up, yeah, as of right now. But, no, I'm going to get better and better. Turtle crawl right now.
It's almost like 6 to 10 when he would come in here, like just hands in his pocket, you know? Well, maybe not 6
I'm
o'clock.
I'm just saying 6:07, 6:08.
I'd get a text at 6 o'clock.
The guy spent over an hour recording this podcast. Like, you know, it's like an hour long.
Just like talking into the wind. It's just like...
So he spent that time to actually sit and have words come out of his mouth while he's pressed record. Yet the 40 seconds that it would have taken to put the link and tweet and press tweet... Yeah, I'll get around to it sooner or later.
Anywho.
Okay, Mike, you got to isolate that. I heard your podcast. Thank you. I don't know where to find it. Yeah. If there is an exchange that just encapsulates Bird more than that one, I don't know what it is. All right, so there's more that we need to get to because apparently there was an issue with the name Slam and Sloobhanger, and I guess he had to change the name.
What?
It's a controversy.
Is it copyrighted somewhere?
Joe, don't say a word, because I don't even know. But I've been told there's trouble in Sloobhanger Paradise.
You can't. So,
yeah, so after Ty Anderson, because we have some real things we have to talk about with Ty Anderson, we will get to what has happened, the mystery of the missing Sloobhanger. We will get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.